Hey there, this is Chris Brown. Before we get started today, I want to let you know, as you make plans for your future through investing, be sure to reach out to one of our endorsed local providers with the heart of a teacher who can get you on the right track. Get started by going to stewardship.com today and clicking on Find an ELP.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, where we talk about what the Bible says about money. We're so glad that you're tuning in. Today, we're taking your calls at 866-357-3283. Again, 866-357-3283. And also, we're taking your emails at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That email address, again, is chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. As we start the show, I want to encourage you with an incredible promise out of the book of Romans, Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, and neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is what this show is about. This show is remembering that we are right in the palm of our Creator. And I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what kind of mistakes you've had before. I don't know what kind of discouragement you're in, but that is the first thing that I want to relate to you. That's the first thing. I'm not saying it. That is straight from your Creator. He has put that in the good book. He has put that in the Bible for you to read. It's applicable not just to people that lived hundreds and thousands of years ago. It is for you. So I want you to internalize that today. Now, in this show, we talk about some mistakes. We talk about some mistakes that we've made in our past, whether it's relationships or with money. But this is a show of hope and not of condemnation. The Bible tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And that's the God that I serve. That's the God that we serve together and we've given our lives to. And I pray that everyone listening in has done that as well. Again, the number is 866-357-3283. And this first call is coming in from Knoxville, Tennessee. This is Jane. Jane, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm better every day. How can I help you?
Well, thank you very much for taking my call.
Yeah.
My husband and I are in our early 50s, and his mother passed away not too long ago, so we're receiving an inheritance. And we took part of it and paid off our second mortgage, but now I'm trying to figure out what do we do with the rest of it.
What's your income?
About $60,000.
You have any consumer debt?
No, I'm so sorry. I am on baby step 4, 5, and 6.
Okay. And for our listeners, that means that she's got an emergency fund, fully funded emergency fund. She's out of all consumer debt, and she's now on the investing part of her baby steps. And she's also at the same time thinking through college funding and also thinking through paying off her mortgage. So that's 4, 5, and 6. How much do you have invested now?
Last time I checked, about 105.
Okay. And do you feel like you're behind?
Absolutely.
Are you currently giving 15% or investing 15% of your income?
Yes.
Okay. How much do you owe in the house?
$168,000 on our house.
And what's the inheritance amount?
There's $50,000 right now, and then we have her house up for sale, and between the siblings, we'll get about $70,000 each, $60,000-$70,000 when it sells.
Maybe I can help you with simplifying. Right now, you got three elements involved. You've got baby step 4, 5, and 6. Maybe I can eliminate one of them. And then I want to ask you a question about which way you're leaning between the next two. Research shows that the average student who goes to college has about a 50% graduation rate. And on top of that, to make that ratio even worse is a lot of them don't use their degree afterwards. And there are many college students all around the country and all around the world who actually pay for their way with cash through college. So if I'm where you're at, I'm in my early 50s, I'm behind in retirement, and I need to pay off my house before I retire, which should be your goal. Mm-hmm. Baby step five is out of the question for me. That's just something, it's a luxury that you can't do.
Right. And my kids are cash flowing themselves through school.
Good. So you're on baby step four and six. So you've already eliminated five. So you're good. Now, which one are you leaning towards for four and six? I've got some thoughts, but I want to know what's more important to you.
Well, my youngest will graduate next year, so we're thinking about selling the house in a year and a half.
Okay.
So then we won't have to worry about where we move. We're behind.
Will there be a downsizing involved in that move?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Okay. So when does that second portion of inheritance come in?
Whenever the house sells.
I'm going to put it towards baby step four, and I'm going to beef up that that nest egg a little bit. I'm going to put the majority of it towards that. You don't have to do all, but I'm going to put the majority of it towards that because baby step four is before six. I do want you to the reason why is because I want that interest to start working for you as soon as possible. And then I think when you get that second portion, you can ask yourself, okay, so how much of this is going to go towards the house? But I'm going to beef up four first because of the diversification, because of Ecclesiastes 11:2 that says that we're to diversify and spread to seven or spread to eight. You don't know what's going to happen in this world. And if you put all of your investments into one parcel, I would like it to be a little bit more spread out first before you're putting a lot of money into a house. And that's the reason why we have baby step four before six, is because we want you to be fully diversified before you start paying off your primary. So that's the way I'm going to lean. I'm going to lean towards four first. So I would beef it up a little bit.
Okay. And then when we get the rest of it, we can use some to upgrade our house or get it ready to sell.
Yeah, and here's the deal. You're still giving 15%. You're still, investing 15%, and you still got, decades left. I mean, so it's not like you're 75. You still are going to be 15%, and you're going to be dollar cost averaging every time you do that. So it's not, you can do some catch up here. But with this inheritance, I think I'm going to probably beef up my investments.
Okay, great.
All right. So I'm sorry to hear about the death in the family. And I think it's good to point out here on the radio show that this inheritance that you leave to the next generation can really be a blessing. This is really blessing Jane and her family.
Absolutely.
And we've got to all ask ourselves, what kind of position are we going to leave the next generation? Are we going to be leaving something behind, or are we going to be leaving a burden? And I think it's great that this didn't happen in your scenario. We got an amazing email here from Becky. This is just ridiculous. You've got to hear this. Here it is. Thank you for all you do. As I sit here soothing our infant and trying to potty train our toddler, there are clothes, burp cloths, toys, and blankets strewn around the floor and the furniture. Any other day, I'd probably be frantically cleaning, planning dinner, checking for the baby diaper, the best diaper deals, or finding a second to grab another cup of coffee between the needs of our kids. Instead, I can sit here enjoying them with the peace and excitement of knowing we are sitting down to pay off our last five student loans tonight when my husband gets home from work. We're paying the last of our consumer debt. All of it. Consumer debt is going to be gone. Our deal was to pay off our debt before our oldest went to kindergarten. Once I started playing with the numbers, I saw that we could do it so much sooner. Our new goal was to have her potty trained before we paid off the debt. I'm just glad the debt is gone anyway, and maybe before we complete baby step three. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Becky. She signs Becky, a mom with a dream and a plan. Boom. And the mic is dropped. Way to go, Becky. We are cheering you on. Very, very cool stuff. And a pretty entertaining email. Very, very well written. Very cool. This next call comes in from Phoenix, Arizona. This is Tim. Tim, how are you?
Pretty good. How you doing, Chris?
I am doing very well. How can I help you?
What I'm looking to is to build my credit. I'm 54 years old, never had any credit, bought everything cash. And we just recently got $30,000 from my wife's mom. We want to buy like a double wide or something like that. So I just kind of want to build my credit. Like I said, I got a thin file. I got nothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, what you're looking to do is it's called manual underwriting. And what it means is you actually walk in to, and here's an example of one. You want to look them up, Church Hill Mortgage.
Okay.
And what they'll do is they'll look at your income and they will look at your liabilities and they will assess the risk and they will make a decision. With their brains, not a program and not a formula and not an algorithm. They will actually make a decision without a credit score and without some computer spitting out a number saying what you qualify for. It's called manual underwriting. It still happens. And the only way it works is if you don't have any credit, like you just said. It doesn't work if you have bad credit. So if you have like bad recent,
I got nothing.
Yeah, if you don't have any, they're just going to make a decision on whether, you know, and I think it's probably better that you do this. Well, obviously, I think it's better because I don't want anyone to have a credit score. I don't know if you know that about me or not, but credit score, all that means is how good you pay interest, which is who wants to be good at who wants to be good at that? I'm really good at be lousy with money. Anyway, so you don't want to be good at that. So I want you to do the manual underwriting. But another thing that's good about this is if you said you were going to go buy a, I think you said a trailer or double wide, right?
Yeah, double wide, you know, for like $70,000, something like that. So when we retire, you know, we just have to pay the lot rent or whatever, you know, or if we can get the land with it.
Yeah. So another good thing about manual underwriting on that is that, you know, traditional banks are going to charge you an outrageous interest rate on that probably. So getting a manual underwriting where they actually like think through the home and all that kind of stuff, was probably going to work in your favor, but,
okay.
Let me give you a little bit more, that you can work on. So you said it was your mother-in-law giving you $30,000?
Yeah. Yeah. She lives with us. She's 88 years old.
Okay.
And, she lives with us, sold her house and all that. So she told us, you know, take that money, you know, now and try to invest it into something. So,
yeah. And for folks listening in too, if you're like, you know what, you know, manual underwriting is not going to work for me. Just some ways that you can build your credit score if you just need to get like 50 points or something like that is you could ask the utility companies or the your landlord to report your good history, or make sure you go check your credit report and make sure there's no discrepancies or make sure there's nothing on there that shouldn't be on there. Those are some ways just to help folks who. But for me, I can care less about my credit score. I don't have one. So, I love the fact
Chris,
that.
Can I ask you a question? I had one of my friends told me, to go to a credit bureau and do a $1,000 secured loan because they got them at 3%. Do you like suggest that or just kind of stay away from that?
Yeah. I just threw up in my mouth.
I didn't mean to do that to you.
So I don't think so. Here's the deal. I'm kind of tapped out on this building your credit score thing. Anything else I tell you to do, including the one that you just mentioned, is going to go against Proverbs 22:7. It's going to go against Romans 13:8. It's going to go against Proverbs 6:1-8. It's going to go against anything that I believe in. And one of the other things they say is to maybe sign on with someone else's credit card and kind of like secure theirs. But the Bible's clear in Proverbs 22:26, don't agree to guarantee another person's debt or put up security for anyone else. So there's nothing else that I can tell you besides maybe the utilities and the landlord thing, but really
Churchill Mortgage.
Yeah. Churchill Mortgage, go there. You don't want a credit score. And I'm actually applauding you that you don't have one.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for the call.
I'll get a hold of them today.
Good. All right. Well, here's the deal. that's just a really cool phone call. I love that. Tim's got a cool spirit about him. You heard me mention earlier about if you're in your baby step or you're in that season in your stewardship journey where you're looking to invest, it's never a good idea to invest just because a guy like me tells you to do that. You want to make sure, you know, to steward what you're investing, you need to know how it works, why it's important for your future, and how it can help you fulfill God's call in your life. An investing advisor with the heart of a teacher can answer all those questions and help you make the most of your retirement savings, much more than one phone call. Our endorsed local provider program has been connecting people to these trustworthy investing professionals for nearly 15 years. And I found my investing professional, personally for me and Holly, through the ELP program. And I'm proud to offer our listeners access to these, you know, ridiculously outstanding professionals. So I want you to know about them. If you need someone that you can count on to help you with your investing needs, go to stewardship.com, click on Find an ELP, and complete. There's just a little very small investing form there to get you connected with a trusted expert. So don't wait to get educated on your future. That's the big power there. You're getting educated on your future. Go to stewardship.com, click on Find an ELP, and of course, get started today.
Thank you for joining us on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We want to hear your questions and your success stories, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now back to Chris Brown and True Stewardship.
This next phone call is coming in from Pittsburgh, and this is Brooke. Brooke, how are you?
I'm good, Chris. How are you?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
Well, just had a question. We're a family of five, and we are at a crossroads in our life. We've never owned a home, but the rental market in Pittsburgh is really tough. So any place that we're really looking that would fit our family is going to increase our monthly expenses to be over 25% of the income.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we're in a two-bedroom townhouse. Like I said, we're a family of five, so we're pretty squished.
Yeah.
So like I said, we are taking baby steps. We have achieved the first baby steps, so we have $1,000 in savings. And we do have some other money in savings, but certainly not enough, or at least what we've been told, not enough for a down payment on a house.
Mm-hmm.
So at a loss right now, like I said, we're at a crossroads.
Yeah, so you got 3 months to get out.
Basically, yep.
And what was the reason again?
Well, we are actually, the owners of the townhouse want to sell it.
Okay. Are they flexible at all?
Well, we only signed a year lease, but they've let us go month to month for almost another year. So we're at that point where they want us out. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Let's say that staying under 25%, let's just act like that was a law. And there was absolutely no way. It wasn't a suggestion. It was a law. What would your options be? I mean, we're talking about survival here. Like what?
Sure.
Like for survival, what would they be?
To be quite honest, either move way outside of Pittsburgh, which we already do live outside of the city.
Okay.
Or to live, unfortunately, in some not so good areas, basically.
Okay. What about on the income side?
Well, actually, I just switched roles in my company, so the income did increase. I did get a promotion, which is great, and it has helped. But you know, we're still trying to be smart, so we're not spending, you know, so much in rent and utilities and not able to save, because we do eventually want to own a home.
Mm-hmm. What is the income?
$94,500 a year.
Okay. And what size do you need?
We're looking for at least a 3-bedroom.
Okay.
I have two boys and a girl, and the boys can share for now.
Right. Yeah. And quality, are you okay with, you know, 10, 15, 20 years old?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
And you've looked through your budget and places you can cut to, if you're right up that 25 and you have to cut in some other areas?
I definitely looked in all the areas and cut where I could.
How old are your kids?
8, 4, and 1.
They all three can't get jobs?
I know, right?
Oh, I'm just teasing.
We have made the financial decision for my husband to stay home with the kids, basically because daycare is so expensive.
Yeah. I'm shocked that $95,000 can't get you a reasonable residence in Pittsburgh.
As far as the rental?
Yeah, I really am. I'm shocked by that.
Anything in the, you know, we've looked even outside the area that we're in, but even, you know, it's, I would say, 3-bedroom, at least 1.5 bath is going to run us about $1,800 a month.
Well, here's the deal. I don't see anything like sticking out that's super obvious on options besides increased income and decreased lifestyle. And that doesn't mean decreased house necessarily, which it probably does mean a little bit of that. But I'm talking about all the other things with the other discretionary money. It's like your recreation gets cut in half, your everything gets cut in half. I don't know if there's some kind of private schooling or some. There's a big bill in there that's getting you guys. You got car payments or anything?
We do have a car. We have one car. But we do have a car payment, yes.
Yeah, I think you just got to... 95 should work in Pittsburgh. It really should. So I would cut something. But here's what I want to leave you with. So it's really just decreased lifestyle and increased income. That's your answer. Nothing's glaring at me as far as, you know, this magic pill on this one. But this is what I want to leave you with. There's a huge difference between urgency and fear. And you got 3 months, and I want you to feel urgency, but I do want you to know that that fear, if there's a fear that creeps in 3 weeks when we're not on the air, I want you to stand behind this truth of Psalm 27:1 that says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is my stronghold in my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And so I wouldn't want the landlord to get to a point where they're bullying you, and it sounds healthy right now. Yeah, but as it gets further along, I don't want you to make a decision because you're scared and fearful and you get into some rental agreement that is just not reasonable because you are forced out by fear. I want you to make an urgent decision. You know, there's some urgency involved here, but it needs to still be wise. And the Bible talks a lot about hastiness.
So you would agree. I know that there are programs for first-time home buyers where, you know, all different incentives and things. And I know some exist where, you know, no down payment. You would agree that that is not a wise move, correct?
You have no idea how much I agree with you.
Okay.
Yeah, I want you completely out of debt. I want you to have an emergency fund, and I want you to have at least 20% down before you even think about buying.
Okay.
So make sure you stay calm and collected throughout the thing, and then just really wait on the Lord. You know, the scriptures are very clear about He comes in the midnight hour. He's going to give you that. He's going to give you that big idea. So let me pray for you real fast before I let you go. God, I pray for Brooke right now. I pray for her and her husband, and I pray for her family. I'm praying, God, right now boldly for you to show yourself in a powerful way in this situation. We know that you are right there beside her, and you always have been, and you're going to be over the next 3 months. But I'm asking God boldly. We're asking as a true stewardship community that she feels your presence in a powerful way, that this this tight spot that she's in is just a reason. It's just an excuse to draw near to you. God, we know life is not about the pit. We know it's not about the promise, but it's about the process. So I pray, God, that Brooke fully leverages this time to draw near to you and to, on the other side, when you come through, because we know you will, that she gives you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, Brooke, we appreciate the call, and I'm begging you to let us know an update after this all goes down.
We definitely will. Thank you, Chris, for your time.
When you're making plans for your investments, be sure to get some more specific help from an investing professional to help you understand what's happening with your money and your situation. So go to stewardship.com, click on Find an ELP to get started today. You can talk to somebody about all the deep intricacies of your particular situation. And of course, they have the heart of a teacher. And I want to leave you with an incredible promise. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid." Notice those verses. It doesn't say money's going to be our helper. We are not worshiping the provision. We're worshiping the provider. God bless you.